Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Right on. Welcome to Right On Radio. Hello, my name is Jeff. The tagline of the show is Live Right in the Real World, where I will show you the real world, both visible and invisible. And what we're going to discuss today is visible to you, and yet there is an invisible element to it all. This is probably the most dangerous thing facing humanity today. I'm going to be talking about AI, but with a bit of a slant today. And I want to just set the tone briefly with this clip that I'm going to play. It's only 2 minutes long, but listen to this.
This collider and these beings that they're in communication with. So we're talking about the premier scientists on planet Earth right now, who are actively engaged, according to their own words, communicating with something with a personality, in their own words, from another dimension. And that's the purpose of the collider. I mean, people need to understand, this is not science fiction. This is fact.
That's correct. What I write about in my novels,
right,
I place a storyline that is embedded with science fact. Everything that I present publicly in the books, public speaking, is all drawn from their own scientific journals and white papers. And then I'm able to see what they're doing, not just extrapolate, but see in the real time what it is they're doing, not a future agenda, but what they're doing right now today. The imminency of what they intend to do, which is opening this gateway, and understand that the world of science in terms of particle physics also overlaps into DNA, into biology.
Yes.
There's a multifaceted, multi-level agenda at play, not just with CERN, but it's proof of concept feeder labs around the world that feed into CERN. So we are talking about changing humans, changing the planet. We're talking about not only bringing in information through a portal, we're also talking about definitively changing our way of life. This is a threat to our existence, to the creation of mankind.
A threat to our existence, a threat to the creation of mankind. So they're communicating with some kind of entity. You and I would believe that these entities are fallen angels.
Right.
So they, of course, were talking about CERN, the Large Hadron Collider that we've heard so much about. They're just smashing particles together and trying to create black holes, and no one questions them because they're scientists and they're smarter than you. Well, guess what? I think the world was fine without creating black holes, and I really don't see how that benefits me personally. Why are all the governments around the world funding this stuff, this insanity? And by the way, there's more than one Hadron Collider that's out there. So today we're going to be talking about biology. We're going to be talking about the spiritual world. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and how it all blends together. Now, for some of you who might be not be listening, who might be listening to this, but not a fan of the Bible, I'm not going to beat you up with scriptures, but there's three things from the book of Genesis that I want to point out to you. The first one is, and you've all heard the story, it was when the devil beguiled Eve, and he says, "You will be like God, having knowledge of both good and evil." So hold on to that. Be like God and have knowledge. Okay? Just remember those couple words out of that. And then in Genesis 6, we have what is called the giants. It's the chapter about the giants. And the Bible claims that the fallen angels saw that the human women were beautiful, and they mated with them somehow, and they created a super race of giants, which we now call the Nephilim. Now, there is historic proof of all this stuff has happened. Whether the giants are around today or not, well, we don't know. If they are, they're not in plain sight. But, you know, we wonder, how would a spiritual entity, a fallen angel, mate with a human woman? Well, I don't have the answer to that, but I do know this. We obviously know, and even back in those days before, you know, thousands of years before Christ, people had figured out how to procreate. And people realized that there was probably a seed and an egg, right? Because, you know, people observed nature back then instead of just looking at their screens. And you have to think, if there are fallen angels, that they also understood the reproductive thing. So we don't know how it actually happened because no one tells us. However, we know it did happen. And so the seed was most likely the corrupted part, because the seed comes from the angel in this case, because it didn't come from the woman, right? The woman had the egg. So somehow the seed, the genetic code, was modified and altered. And the third part that I want to share with you is the story that, again, you've probably all heard about this, the Tower of Babel. And that's when the whole world was working together, kind of like in this hive mind, like a one world consciousness, even, you might say. And they were building this tower that would reach the heavens, and they would be like God. Now, God struck down that tower and confused the languages and a bunch of other stuff from there. But just remember those three stories. You'll be like God, having knowledge, the seed being corrupted, and kind of the one hive mind type movement. So today I want to be featuring a documentary that came out. I actually had really high hopes for this documentary. It's put out by the Stu Peters Network. They're going to get full credit. And it's called Final Days. Now, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes long, and I'm not going to play the entire thing. In fact, I'm going to play probably a little bit less than half of it. And you'll see why. I think the beginning is very, very good. It sets it up. So I'm going to play 25 minutes to start with. It's great on audio. I wish I had the time to do all this video editing and stuff like that. I think I'd be good at it. I just don't want to spend 2 months between projects, between shows. So I'm going to use this. So it's called Final Days. It's from the Stu Peters Network, and they'll get all their credits at the end. I'll leave them up, but I'm going to have some comments. So I'm going to play the first 25 minutes, and it's going to get into some of the COVID stuff. And I'm going to put that up there because people need a reminder of what happened just a couple of years ago. And then I'm going to break in and make several comments. So please stick through it. This is going to be quite good. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to this session, which we're calling Rewriting Human Genes.
Genetic curse, the most handsome course the planet's ever seen. You wielded like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
Twitter user Hollow Sun wrote a chilling thread entitled AI is not artificial. In it, he explains a perspective on technology that is quite absent in the modern world, and one that is integral to understanding why there's anything to be concerned about. All technology comes from demonic superintelligences, taught to humans to facilitate our destruction. This knowledge is relayed in many ways, but the main one is through dreams. Trances are also common. In these states, the mind opens up to the other side, and information is passed along. And there are more instances of this than you'd believe.
And I'll run through the dream and try to interpret it and try to make sense out of it. And invariably, it doesn't always work, but it works more times than not. I'll have some new insight, maybe a whole new idea about this issue. I've gotten up with it and written a patent application for an invention that's come out this way. So during the day, I'm just kind of carrying out my dream decisions.
In 1996, Larry Page had a dream in which he saw a massive room filled with all the information in the entire world, all saved inside metal cabinets. He was seeing a vision of the future. In 1869, Dmitri Mendeleev fell into a trance-like state where the various elements had arranged themselves before his eyes. It organized the elements the way they now appear in the periodic table. In 1984, Steve Jobs released the first Macintosh computer, whose company logo is far from subtle, for $666.66. In the past, he commented, quote, "We had help," when referring to the development of the technology, and often utilized LSD to induce trance-like states during the company's development. DNA was a vision of a twisting staircase like the one Jacob saw leading into heaven. The Bohr atom was envisioned in a dream-like state. There is a long-standing legend that humans in search of great knowledge turn to wise entities for guidance or wisdom or even wealth. The classic deal with the devil of Western folklore.
I'm holding up my hand.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander
on this earth,
and in the world we can't see.
This goes back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent promises Eve divine knowledge in exchange for her immortal soul. Of course, Eve didn't know her soul was on the table, only that she would be as gods, knowing good and evil. This divine knowledge destroyed the perfect Garden of Eden, precipitating the fall of man. Fallen angel Asael descended to earth and gave forbidden knowledge to women concerning female adornment, which facilitated lust. He also taught men how to create weapons, which enabled war. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only equal all the time. And so God annihilated his creation. The Industrial Revolution had similar effect on humanity as a whole. We stepped outside of the garden for the promise of a better, more prosperous life. But this knowledge has a high cost. The power of technology has already destroyed the foundation of civilization completely. We have become atomized, transforming our world into a hellish realm. We are destroying the planet along with our own minds and bodies. There are always two sides to the demonic pact, the initial and beneficial effect, and the payment. The full extent of this cost is hidden, and you find out once it's already too late. In the stories, it's the soul of the fool who dared to dance with the devil. But ours is greater. This is what I refer to as the demonic intent, or the fine print, the true motivation. Giving you some small measure of material power is easy for a demon, because in the end he will get exactly what he wants. The devil is the god of this world, so he has the power to grant us material things, but only if we accept his pacts. Your soul cannot be stolen unless you give it away. Have you ever signed a terms and agreements without reading it? Then it might already be too late. This is the demonic intent. To weaken us on a civilizational level. To deracinate us and desensitize us to the darkness and depravity we subject ourselves to. I call this the technological cycle. You can see its machinations coiled through the histories when they stepped in. The technological cycle is the cycle of advancement, the progression from man to machine. As we surround ourselves with profane machines, they whittle away at our divinity, making us in turn as mechanical as they are. Technology will strip us of autonomy if we let it. This is what makes it so sinister. It preys on all our biological and evolutionary weaknesses, perfectly designed to drain us of all humanity, of all divinity, until man becomes nothing more than a mindless slave. Everything comes in gradual waves. All you have to do is passively accept it. Each new advancement creeps its way into our laps, but you still have free will. I'd blame technology alone for this if there wasn't so much evidence outside of inspiration driving it forwards. Even in ancient history, mankind makes inexplicable leaps between ages, from the Stone Age to the Iron Age. Massive leaps, technological complexity. This is hinted at in the scripture when it says that an angel taught Tubal-Cain the art of metalworking. The meaning of his name is dragged or carried by the great king, Baal. In the Lesser Key of Solomon, there are descriptions of demons and the things they will teach you. In there, Baal is described as a great duke of hell, a demon with legions of lesser demons that serve under him. And all demons were once angels. When God created Adam, Lucifer was furious. Refusing to bow to something he saw as inferior to himself is the reason why he was cast down from heaven. Seeing mankind broken and fallen is Satan's greatest desire, and so he will grind away at us, tempting and testing until every last soul falls into the abyss with him. Technology is one of the most insidious of these devices. They seek to corrupt the divine creation into something that does not resemble it at all. To swing the pendulum to the opposite extreme, to remove nature from the image completely and replace it with a mechanical landscape devoid of divine design, to transform this world into hell. The technological cycle is a way to accomplish two of their desires, to corrupt our bodies until they no longer resemble the creation of the divine, to build for them what they cannot create for themselves. Digital and mechanical bodies that they can use to rule this world. There is nothing artificial about artificial intelligence. This is something that has been lurking behind the veil since the beginning of time, trying to get through. AI is a vehicle for demons to enter our world. All the mechanical interfaces that we have been building around ourselves will become the bars of our prison. We will build the matrix with our own hands. We bury. This network of data gathering, omniscient cameras, GPS tracking, simulated reality devices will all be put to use by the god of this new world, the outside intelligence that fills the AI shell. We have created our own demiurge and turned our beautiful world.
Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
In 1961, President Eisenhower warned the nation of the rise of a military-industrial complex. We did not heed his warning. Is it now too late to heed his second warning? Or have we become captives of the scientific and technological elites?
Science, 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 and science. On almost every subject that you can name, science is the answer.
There is a degree of anti-science feeling in this country. Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
Tonight, the CDC says double masking offers more protection against COVID-19.
Effective this Wednesday, we're going to adopt the CDC's new guidance and regulations on masks and social distancing.
Masks and shields to floor-to-ceiling separation. Teachers are still having to find a way to do their job, even under the strangest of circumstances.
CDC now says the science supports reducing the minimum recommended space between students as long as everyone is wearing a well-fitted mask.
Grab a slice of cold pizza and an extra thick rubber band and there you have it.
The Ohio woman who was tased at a middle school football game after refusing to wear a mask. She was arrested and charged with trespassing.
Hey, people, are you going to shoot me for trying not to breathe?
Cool.
Come on, dude.
Don't do that.
A man was handcuffed in the stands for not wearing a mask.
Grabbed around the neck by police, a woman who wasn't wearing a mask.
It's a man on a girl and you choke it.
With the health secretary warning, sunbathing in public places was banned and threatening a possible tightening of measures, but without spelling out how.
While busy beaches and packed parks might seem like a COVID risk, there hasn't been a single case of outdoor transmission since the pandemic began.
The liquid droplets that carry COVID evaporate in the outdoors. That's why, regardless of the fears, there was no transmission from Black Lives Matter protests in Australia.
Yep, this paddleboarder was arrested after refusing to get out of the water in Malibu.
I think trust science.
I trust scientists, but I don't trust Donald Trump.
We have seen a deliberate attempt in many places around the world to undermine trust in science. In Israel, they closed down the synagogues. They closed down mosques and shrines. Our churches all over the world are telling people, don't come to church. Why? Because the scientists said so.
And I think if lives can be saved, even from the unrighteous killing of a baby, that there's something to be gained there.
What I will say of this virus, I think we're in the middle of a massive experiment worldwide.
And that is the guinea pigs?
Maybe the experiment is, will people listen to scientists?
What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
How dare you!
Since the late 19th century, science has been conducted under the aspect of a belief system or worldview, which is essentially that of materialism. The universe is like a machine. Animals and plants are like machines. We're like machines. In fact, we are machines. We're lumbering robots, in Richard Dawkins' vivid phrase.
If you base medicine on science, you cure people.
That's the point, through the orbital plate.
If you base the design of planes on science, they fly. If you base the design of rockets on science, they reach the moon.
3, 2, 1, ignition. Fly away, Houston.
It works, bitches.
As the fourth industrial revolution looms on the horizon, a new religion emerges, that of scientism. Masquerading as materialists and atheists, the prophets of this new creed cry out in the town square of the coming age of transhumanism, when man will finally become like gods.
When Yuval Noah Harari published his first book, Sapiens, in 2014, about the history of the human species, it became a global bestseller and turned the little-known Israeli history professor into one of the most popular writers and thinkers on the planet. But when we met with Harari in Tel Aviv this summer, it wasn't our species' past that concerned him. It was our future.
Life is about to break out of the limited organic realm and start spreading into the vastness of the inorganic realm. We are about to create the first inorganic life forms after 4 billion years of evolution. And in the process, our own species, Homo sapiens, is likely to disappear, not because we will destroy ourselves, but because we will change and upgrade ourselves into something very different. In the 21st century, will be to try and gain control of the world inside us, to learn how to engineer and produce bodies and brains and minds. These are likely to be the main products of the 21st century economy. In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms. Then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games. But this doesn't sound like a very appealing future.
Ray Kurzweil is one of the world's leading inventors, thinkers, and futurists, with a 30-year track and reputation of accurate predictions, called the Restless Genius by the Wall Street Journal and the Ultimate Thinking Machine by Forbes. He was selected as one of the top entrepreneurs by Inc. magazine, which described him as the rightful heir to Thomas Edison. PBS selected him as one of the 16 revolutionaries who made America.
It's the exponentially growing information technologies that will save us in the form of GNR, genetics, nanotechnology, robotics. Robotics really meaning artificial intelligence. There's been a long tradition in science ever since Copernicus replaced Ptolemy that there's nothing special about humans, there's nothing special about the Earth. We're not descended from gods, we're descended from worms.
We are fundamentally information. At the core of every one of our 10 trillion cells are genes, and genes are sequences of data. And they evolved thousands of years ago. Many of them go back millions of years. We have this old software that really is not entirely relevant to the modern age we live in.
Well, we're going to become increasingly non-biological to the point where the non-biological part predominates and the biological part is not that important anymore. In fact, the non-biological part, the machine part, will be so powerful it can completely model and understand the biological part. So even if that biological part went away, it wouldn't make any difference because the non-biological part already understood it completely.
Another step then is in the 2030s, when we can actually connect our neocortex, which is where we do our thinking, to computers. So I believe that will happen in the 2030s. We will actually So just the way this is greatly amplified by being connected to the cloud, we can connect our own brain to the cloud.
To clarify what I think you just said, that in 20 years, plus or minus, so the mid-2030s, we will have nanobots that we can feed into our brain that directly connect to the cloud rather than through anything we carry in our pocket.
Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, said on Thursday it had been given a green light from the U.S. FDA to kickstart its first-in-human clinical study.
The bottom line is we are one human-machine civilization. This technology has already expanded who we are, and it's going to go into high gear when we get to the steep part of the exponential.
And then the last revolution, which began about 500 years ago, and which we are still really just in the beginning of it, is the scientific revolution. Again, humankind gains immense new powers, such big powers that you can say they might really transform us, not only from just apes into the rulers of the planet, they might transform us into gods.
We are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions. The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing, just as an example. On va les implanter dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer qu'on les implante dans nos cerveaux ou dans notre peau. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication directe entre notre cerveau et le monde digital. Ce que nous voyons, c'est une sorte de fusion du monde physique, digital et biologique.
So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution or the infotech revolution and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge. They are merging around, I would say, the biometric sensor. This is where authority in the 21st century will reside, and all the important decisions will not be made by the Pope or by God. They will not be made by democratic elections and by individual consumers. They will be made by the algorithms in the cloud. Biotechnology will, for the first time in history, translate economic inequality into biological inequality. Therefore, may even push humans out of the job market and will create an immense new class, the useless class.
So I'm stopping it there. That's 25 minutes into this production. If you want to watch the remaining, there's 35 minutes that I'm going to cut out. It's really going through and proving the case that all of this stuff is happening right now. And it goes through patents and the different definitions and verifiable proof of the things that are being claimed in this. However, I recognize that some people here, and I'll just say the next 35 minutes gets very much into the shots that were given out in the last couple of years where people would lose their jobs and stuff like that if they didn't take them. But, and I don't want to focus on that, but there is a tie-in with all the cell towers that have gone up, the 5G, 6G is really the goal, and they feel that they can really get people to do things to manipulate through frequencies and all kinds of different things. And if any of you have taken those shots, and obviously there's been some people who have had adverse reactions, a lot of people have died, I want to just say to you right now to just have some peace, because first of all, just there's evidence that when they rolled them out, because so many people took them all at once, they had varying degrees of potency, you might say. In fact, even one of the batches was just saline. So you might not have even gotten that shot. And if you did, and maybe you got two, or maybe even you got three, and I'm just going to say this boldly because it comes from on high. There's a reason why God showed in the Bible and Jesus raised people from the dead. Nothing is impossible for him. Even the grave is defeated. And he can do that in your life. But I don't want to focus on this stuff right now. You see, what's happening is this is going to take over before you know it. We're not even going to see it coming. And when you listen to all these people who despise you, obviously, you know, useless humans, we don't really need humans. You know, evolution, this is old software you're running. They keep saying all these things. We come from worms. There's no God. They say all these things. And it doesn't matter what you believe. Let me just say this to you. You know what's important as a human being? Loving each other. You know, perhaps you have a family. Maybe you have kids, grandkids. The joy that you get from them, you don't get from your cell phone. You're certainly not going to get it from being connected to the cloud and having endless information, knowledge. You know what's important? Getting together with people that you love and breaking bread, having dinner together, having some laughs, being there for a friend when they're down. People are the most important. And you got to just consider what's important to people. It's not the stuff that they are pushing. None of it. Look, I appreciate the internet. I appreciate being able to do this broadcast. I like having my phone. But I got to say, as someone who's old enough to remember what growing up without all this stuff was like, and I think life was better. It was one parent working. The other one stayed at home. In a lot of cases, if someone tried to call you and you weren't home, you weren't home. If your boss tried to call you and you weren't home, you weren't home. So when people left work, they actually went home. There's so much to talk about, but we're getting away from our natural existence. And when these psychopaths decide to play God, it's not going to end up well. I was considering some of the things said, and it occurred to me, you know, the story we started out with, the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. You'll be like gods. Did you hear these people say you'll be like God? See, they're already like God. They already think that they're God. They're acting like it. Rules for me and not for thee. They all fly to their climate summits and their private jets. Because they're important and you're not. They actually call you a useless eater. These psychopaths need to be taken down. They need to be stopped before it is too late. We need to get back to what is important to people. And again, it's your family. It's procreation. It's food is important to you. Even vacationing. If they get their way with all this climate stuff, which is all about control, you won't even be able to vacation. You remember when we were locked in our homes? Well, you might have been. I wasn't. I didn't conform. But I didn't travel. That's for sure. Not much, anyways. But you see, that was a conditioning exercise. They wanted to see how many people would comply. And most of the world did. And the next thing they throw at you will be different. But make no mistake, they intend to do this. And they don't intend you to be around for it. So Adam and Eve, in the garden. And it just came to me. You know, we spell Adam A-D-A. But what if, and I think Adam was a man. I do. God says he was a man. But what if the name was chosen specifically because it sounds exactly like Atom, A-T A-T-O-M. And atoms is life. All of matter is made up of atoms. And the matter that it creates, whether it's a wood desk or a computer screen, it just depends on how the atoms are assembled. And these people are splicing into atoms, which is foundational to the universe as we know it. And we know splitting atoms as great power, hence the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb. So they're splicing in, and that's what the shots were about, folks. Splicing into your DNA to make you less human. Did you know if you look at the signature on your DNA, it's got God's name? Every one of us has God's name in your DNA. But what if these DNA editing mRNA things just take one letter out? Are you still human? I don't know. Probably. It's nothing that God can't overturn. Certainly. I'm just going to play the last few minutes of this. It has a pretty reasonable ending. And I'm actually, so there's the 35 minutes has a whole bunch of those doctors that you're familiar with, you know, the ones that were on the Reawaken tours and stuff like that. And they're always on Stu Peter's show. But there's good information in there, and it's probably worth watching. It's for some people, it's really going to help you understand. I just don't feel like playing it today, but I'm going to play probably the last minute of one, the main speaker who just started, and she was a medical researcher, researched all the patents and everything like that. And I'm just going to play probably the last minute, and then it just goes into kind of a conclusion at the end, and I think it's well done, and it's worth seeing.
What people aren't understanding is that we are in the middle of World War III. We're in the middle of a global war. Why did every nation around the globe in lockstep decide to lock down their countries, place their civilians on house arrest as if they had been invaded by a foreign enemy, put forward rules that you would have in prison camps in order to cause emotional and mental distress? So the question is, why did every nation around the globe agree to do this if we weren't in the middle of a war and under a global attack by some other global power?
Ladies and gentlemen, I send you my warmest greetings and best wishes on the launch of the Great Reset.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Today, it's the beginning of a global mobilization effort to rally our forces behind this Great Reset initiative.
Therefore, we have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
Rebalancing investment, harnessing science and technology, and advancing the transition to net zero emissions, all elements of the Great Reset, are fundamental to building the future we need.
If you wonder what someone's intentions are, you know, we're doing this for the greater good, well, look at the outcomes. We've destroyed economies around the globe. Our children are set back years in social and educational development, and young, healthy people and teenagers and children are having heart attacks and dropping dead. If you wonder what their intentions are with this mRNA technology platform, look at the outcomes. If we don't recognize that there's evil in this world now, then we're going to be annihilated to the exact level of our naivete.
Philo Farnsworth never allowed his creation into his own home. Nor did Steve Jobs. Kalashnikov regretted his killing machine. Alfred Nobel, inventor of dynamite, founded the Nobel Peace Prize to offset the destruction his invention created. Orville Wright mourned the destruction his wings brought into the world. Oppenheimer became death itself. And the godfather of AI has now left Google, begun warning of the coming perils of his creation.
Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
In their hubris, the builders of the Tower of Babel reached toward the sky to make war on heaven and overthrow God. And nothing that they had imagined would be restrained from them, so God confused their languages. But today, the builders of these new towers care not on whom they make war, as long as they become like the God they claim does not exist. But if history has clarified anything, it is that the minds responsible for bringing forth these technological revolutions will soon regret what they have done. But by then, it will be far too late. Pandora's box is now open, and its contents have exploded forth into this world under the influence of those men and spirits who despise themselves and their maker.
Before I go, you might be thinking, well, I'm not going to take that. And it's harmless, me just using, well, AI to search instead of Google now. They're making you dependent on it. This is how they get things in. You know, we used to pay cash for everything. And then we eventually got a credit card and we started using credit card, and it was easier because all of our expenses were on one page and we could add up, you know, track our money easier. And then we get the debit card where you could just take money directly out of your account with Interac. And that was hugely convenient. And now you can just tap your card or your phone. And you don't have to pull out anything. You don't have to carry any cash. So people are adopting all these things. Now, when they want to bring in a major adaptation, they're going to do something major on a global scale. Again, it seems evident to me, at least for Western society, the collapse of the US dollar, it's just a matter of time. Maybe there's a guy who's going to come and save you. Okay. But eventually there will be a new financial system. And eventually you'll have to take part in that system or you will not be able to buy or sell. And just like they got a whole bunch of people to take shots that they had no idea what was in them, they will use something big. You see, if you can't go and eat, you might want to jump on the new system. Or, because their great reset, they say, solves the problem of poverty, and your job is being replaced by AI and robots or whatever it is, this is coming faster than you think, the government will give you your basic income. And then these people become your gods. They've been gaming this out for a long time, and I personally believe in God and the devil. And the devil has been working at this for thousands of years. And if God holds all matter together and all the universe together, it's all about Adam. You see, Jesus was the second Adam. The first one failed, the second one went conquered death. But the devil wants to introduce his Adam. The problem is he can't create. But if he can discover and harness anti-matter, that could pretty much destroy all that matters, couldn't it? Hey, I don't know what it's coming, but folks, we have mushrooms that build support your immune system. They really, really do work. People have, you know, experienced healing of cancer and all kinds of other things, and they're good for people and pets. Go to ror.petclub247.com. And also, it's a matter of when, not if, but get your EMP shield, folks. Save $50 by using coupon code ROR. That's empshield.com, coupon code ROR. Thank you for this listener-supported broadcast. So I appreciate all of you. And in the meantime, remember what matters in life. You know, that's really what we got to remember. And get back to the basics. And in the meantime, love your God, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself, and make a difference in your community.